not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for January 22nd, 2018. It's Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway.
Yeah.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Boop Show. It is episode 161. I'm Scott. That's Boop. Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott.
The other Brian. I have too many Brians.
I heard you like to play games.
No, I do, actually. I'm a fan. I like the video games. Big fan. Big fan. And this is where we talk about them. It's the Boop Show. We do it once a week. Boop. It's a Monday, and it's about a little after 3:30 here in the Mountain Time Zone. Thank you, everybody who showed up live, and everyone listening later. You're cool, too. We're fine with you. You're
but
just fine.
Let me just say this. Yeah. Those live folks are going to win some games.
Are they, though? Are they?
Codes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they will. That's true. We'll give some away today. In fact, if I don't know, you can decide this. We could open the lines and have them call in if we wanted.
Ooh, I would like to hear some of the people.
Yeah.
I would like to hear them talk.
There's a phone number now that you can see just below me, 801-285-9395. I'm not going to take every call, so if you call and it rings and rings and rings and never gets through, try again. I'm just going to kind of randomly pull you at one point or another, and you may win some Steam codes today. Brian knows what they are. He knows what's up. So we'll make sure to get those to you. So we'll do that throughout the show today. All right, Brian, it's time for us to talk about what the hell's going on.
Scott.
All right, last time we spoke, which was a week ago. It was a week ago, right? Last Monday.
Last Monday.
I had confessed to getting all wrapped up again in ESO, Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
And that is still true. I'm still enjoying that romp quite a bit, enjoying my time in there.
You know, you didn't convince me last week because you really got deep about the character names, and I just, I want to play. Every week, I look forward to hearing what you played because deep down inside, I want you to convince me to play the games you're playing.
Well, are you, okay, let me ask you this. Do you have any form of the video game known as The Elder Scrolls Online? Do you have it on console or PC or any of the places that it is? Do you have that now?
I do not.
Then you will not be able to play it turns out. That is a requirement.
Interesting.
Yeah, you'll need
the
game.
So there is, you know, when you tell me about a game that's free to play, where I have, I'm all on it. But yeah, there is a small, just a little barrier, like, what is it, like $15 or something?
Yeah, it's
like
on sale sometimes, $29 normally. You don't pay monthly, though. Once you get it, you got it. It's just buying, it's like buying a video game. That's it.
But you know what? You know what? $12 will get me. Mm. It'll get me the Humble Bundle monthly thing, and this week is Civ 6.
How much time are you going to spend? Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Actually, Civ 6 is really good.
It's really good, especially for like $12. But it's even cheaper than that because if it's your first time, you get it for like $10.60.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. That is actually a pretty good argument. So look, if your Humble Bundle this week involves getting Civ 6 for the first time and you're into that sort of thing, I would pick that up first. But if you're just sitting around going, man, I could really use a questy RPG-ish thing that's good and reminds me of Skyrim, well, hey, I got a good news for you. It's called Elder Scrolls Online, and it's fun.
I got a good news for you. And like it's Elder Scrolls Online.
And like I said last week, I don't play it like an MMO. I play it like a
game of backgamming.
Like backgamming. You say backgamming?
Backgamming. Gaming.
If you start backgamming, you need to talk to your doctor. It's a problem. Get that looked at. But no, it's good, and I like it. And I'm telling you, you could do a lot worse. So if you want to take my advice out there, great. If you do get in here, Brian, this, what's cool is you and I can go quest together, and it doesn't matter what level you are and what level I am. The system makes it so whatever's happening is just as much a challenge or whatever for you as it is for me. So it knows how to do that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When do we ever play games together?
That needs to change.
I mean, I know we do this show together, but when do me and you?
That needs to change. We need to do that more, don't you think?
We absolutely need to do that
more. I think
so,
too. All right, so here's what I did other than that, because there were some other things going on. I actually kind of went on this weird rampage because I'd been given a bunch of codes over time that were gifted to me or given to me by either devs or fans or whatever. And a lot of them I just haven't put in yet, right? Just sort of sitting on them thinking, well, I'll get to that eventually. And then I just forget about it. And I went and looked at this list and it was like 80 games that I haven't installed.
Wow.
So I decided to go through and at least claim the codes, if not play them. So claim for sure, install some, One of them was Warhammer 40K Space Wolf. This was actually given to me by the devs. Now, you know I like me some Warhammer 40K, don't you? Love
me. Oh, I knew that.
Yeah. I don't play the tabletop thing, so don't look at me like I'm Mr. Miniature Painter. That's not what I do, people. What I'm talking about is all their video game iterations, and I've read a couple of books. I really like the world, universe, and tone of the world of Warhammer 40K. I think it's awesome.
I have Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising, and Space Marine. The most recent Warhammer game I have is from 2012.
I'm going to tell you what I've got. Let's see. I've never thought to do this because I think I have more than I care to admit. Well, maybe I care to admit. Really.
I will say this. While you were doing that, going through your backlog, I was doing the same thing, but I decided that any game that was released before 2017, I was going to put in my way backlog, and everything from 2017 forward, I was going to try to play.
That's a good idea. I like this.
Yeah.
It's good.
I narrowed it down to about 20-something games, so a little more manageable.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Actually, a good idea to do that. And that's kind of why I did this. I went back to go through a bunch, and some of these are a little older. Most of them are like last year games. This particular game, I want to say, came out in 2017. I think it did. Anyway, this one is called Warhammer 40K Space Wolf.
Ooh.
Space Wolf.
That just sounds cool. And you haven't played. You had Space Wolf in the bank, in your back pocket.
Had it all
the time.
And
you never once pulled it out and said, hey, what's this?
Nope.
Space Wolf.
Totally right. Here are the 40K games, by the way, that I own. That one, Total War, Warhammer 2. But that's not 40K. That's just regular Warhammer. So forget that. Here we go. Total War. No, I'm sorry. Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2. Warhammer 40K Space Marine. Warhammer 40K Regicide. Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2 expansion. Two expansions. Dawn of War 1. I don't have Dawn of War 3 because I heard bad things.
Right.
And there's one other one I have. Oh, Space Hulk. I have Space Hulk. So.
Oh, I like Space Hulk now.
Well, there's an old one, the old EA Space Hulk, which was okay. It's on the 3DO originally, but then there's this newish one, and it's all right. It's got some bugs. But anyway, I like it. I just am happy to play 40K Space Marines and Space Orcs and all that shit is all up my cheese. I love it. So whenever there's one of those to play, I try to play it. Didn't know I had this one.
So how long did you get to play it? Was it just 5 minutes worth? Did you get to really dev in? Or
I played probably half hour, something like that. I haven't had a ton of time. But I did get in there, and I'll tell you what we got here. So it may be based on one of the board games. I don't know. I have no idea because I don't play those. I only know them from their video game iterations and their books. So everybody at home screaming at me. I promise you it's not because I'm being ignorant. I just haven't played the tabletop stuff. So, and I respect them, though. I think that's awesome, and I kind of wish I did, but I don't have time for that stuff. Anyway, this one, so the Warhammer 40K games, they've got RTSs, they have first-person shooters, they have ship-to-ship combat kind of games, they have turn-based strategies of all sorts. Like, there's all sorts of genres that they make a Warhammer game in. And you can just go get those and play those or whatever. Over the years, you've been able to play lots of cool stuff. So I've always liked the squad-based, turn-based stuff. You know, it's always been pretty good. This thing is basically a card game, turn-based strategy hybrid. So your camera is just over, like, three-quarter view, Diablo style, kind of. A little closer in, maybe. And your Marines are dudes, you know. They land. There might be some ladies. I don't know. They land there to do a fight, okay? And there's a story, and I couldn't tell you what's happening yet because it seems a little berserky, but whatever. I'm in there, and up comes one of these Crimson Angels or whatever the hell the name is, one of these opposing factions, and I need to kill them. And the way you kill them is you have movement cards and you have action cards, and like a whole hand of cards is laid before you. And right. you unlock cards further in the game, kind of Hearthstone style, sort of, but it's more of a deck builder than it is a, it's hard to explain. But anyway, so as you're moving along, I've got movement cards. And when I use one of those, I can move whatever the distance is. So I use it and it says, okay, well, within this grid, you can move these 20 paces or whatever. So I'll go and move, and then I can use another card, like an action card. Now, if I'm right next to a guy and I have a chainsaw, I can chainsaw him with a chainsaw action card. Or if it's distance and I have a you know, a bolt rifle or some kind of pistol thing, I can shoot from there.
I like
there.
The way you describe it being right next to him, because I don't think it's like as an opponent on the other side, more like you're just hanging out with him and just, you know, suddenly.
Kind of. I mean, in a way, you sort of are doing that, but it's like chess, sort of turn-based chess, except you have these cards that do your actions. Now, if you're all out of movement cards and you're like, well, I need to move, you can sacrifice an action card like shooting or like I said, the chainsaw swords and all that kind of stuff. You can basically burn one of those in favor of movement and essentially trade it in for movement. So you can still move where you want to go and do what you got to do. So there's a strategy to when you move, you know, what abilities you use after you move, this sort of thing. It's currently enjoying a very positive review. It looks like, hold on, I'm trying to get to the store page and it's being slow.
While you're doing that, chat room.
Found it. Yeah.
First person who tells me the sort of correct answer, I have an idea of the correct answer, of how many 40K Warhammer games are there?
Total? Like 40K video total. Games made? Video
yeah,
games,
just,
right?
Yeah, just the Warhammer 40K, and I'll send you the link that I got, Scott, so you can verify.
Fill out my
well.
Library. Yeah, and also you're saying video games, not tabletop and all that, right? Just
Right. Okay. Video games. Video games only.
While you do that, this thing's got a very positive review currently. It was released in 2017, September 21st. If you were to buy it new, you would be paying $17.99. I think that's worth it.
Wow.
It is cool. What I like about it is it's kind of got that CCG hook mixed with it. I mean, it's just really two genres. It's a turn-based, grid-based sort of fight, and it's being controlled by what cards you have. And surprisingly, good time. I really like it. So people should play Warhammer 40K Space Wolf if you are so inclined. If you like the Warhammer universe, I think you could do a lot worse than this thing. Like I said, it reviewed really well, and it's got a single-player campaign. It's also got PvP modes. It got a survival mode, bunch of stuff, huge arsenal of weapons. The Space Wolf Clan is badass, so play it.
That's the great thing about 40K is it always looks like everybody's a badass, right?
Oh, everyone is. Big, giant, bulky armor, and they call each other names like Ezekiel and Ezekiel, enter the ship on my command! So it's like that kind of thing, and it's all very serious and self-serious in a way that just makes it goofy and fun. It's, it's the universe, well, Warhammer also, but like everyone looks at Blizzard and goes, oh, Blizzard, with your great ideas, right? But Blizzard, I won't say lifted, but Warcraft is Warhammer. I mean, it just is. Right. And they were originally going to be a licensed developer of a Warhammer game before they started Warcraft back in the 90s. And they did that because they thought, well, this is a good license. We all love it here. Let's make a game based on that. And then they thought, well, why don't we just do our own and make up our own world? And kind of, it'll be sort of like that, but it won't be, you know, we won't cross any copyright laws or anything. And so they made Warcraft. But really, its inspiration was Warhammer. Warhammer 40K, same deal for StarCraft. Like Space Marines and the whole Terran nation or the whole Terran race is basically Warhammer 40K. The Zerg are basically not the Scourge, what are they called? There's another word for the Warhammer 40K kind of mindless kill everything aliens. There's a whole race that are a lot like Protoss, and then there's a bunch of others, but this stuff is lifted from that, or let's say inspired from that. And I understand why. It is awesome. It is so cool. Like my imagination flips out when I think about the possibilities of the 40K universe. I love it. So I'm easy for this stuff. All you got to do is say, hey, got a new 40K game coming out. And I'll go, ooh, I don't care what genre it is. I just get stoked.
You've just about got me convinced. Okay, I will do that.
All right.
I will play it. Hey, Captain Logan, first guess is closest to the Wikipedia answer that I got, which was 29 of these Warhammer 40K video games. So Captain Logan, winner. Captain Kipper, 40,000? Wrong. Widget over 9,000. Wrong.
40,000. Nice try, guys. Really, really had to squeeze that one out. We'll give a random code to something else to somebody if they want to call into the show.
801-285-9395. Do you think you would like, how about Shadowrun Returns?
Yeah, Shadowrun Returns, that's a good game. Oh, you know what? Sorry, but that kind of gameplay, that kind of grid-based gameplay is what I'm talking about here. It's very similar to that. So it's, you know, XCOM and a million other games. It's like that kind of game, but you got cards, and it's badass. The other game I played a ton of was Slay the Spire for PC. Now, you might say to me, Scott, why would you want to slay the Spire? What's up with the Spire? Well, I can tell you, Brian.
This looks like a
Do you see it there?
Game.
Yeah. It's another card game. You're not wrong about that. It is exactly what it is. Slay the Spire is a roguelike card battler deck builder.
That almost sounds like something I might would
want to
play.
You might want to, and it's relatively cheap, and it's really high on the popularity charts, and there's a reason. So this is interesting. This company has decided to make this roguelike card game where everything's new and random every time you play it. You take back kind of the gameplay loop is go fight as far as you can and get as far as you can and try to beat the final boss. But if you can't, it's okay because you'll carry over the cards you unlocked plus some gold and you can upgrade stuff. So the next time you go out, you're a little stronger. We all know what a roguelike is. That's kind of what that is. But this is using cards and you get these cards that are dealt to you and some of them are damage cards. Some of them are block cards. Some of them are other effects and abilities and things. You can also pick up potions and, you know, other junk, trinkets and things. It's not that crazy of concepts. It's like this has all been done before. It's done really well here. The gameplay loop is super solid and really fun.
It better than Card Thief?
Yes. I like Card Thief a lot, but that's more of a solitaire game anyway. I mean, I'm thinking of the wrong one. Card Thief is the one where you sneak around and try to stay out of the light, right? With the cards. That's a really good game.
Totally. Yeah, because he was all roguelike. So
yeah, that's a really cool game, but doesn't play like that.
Not like that. Okay.
No, it plays more like, I don't know what to compare it to.
Card Crawl? You ever played that one?
Yeah, a little more like Card Crawl. Yes. No, okay. No, not so much like Card Crawl.
Nothing like that, no.
Card Crawl is more like Solitaire. This plays like Monster Slayer. It's an old Flash game that I think is also now a Steam game, where you use cards to battle, it's random, you find treasure, you do stuff. Obviously, I like a certain kind of game, folks. This is one of them. And here's what I like about Slay the Spire. They have the gameplay loop down. It is solid as a rock. Like, really fun, very compelling, one more time kind of vibe to it. Perfect. But you can tell that that's where they start and that they're not done with the art yet.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. The art
terrible.
Is...
Terrible.
Not that great.
No. It's worse than not that great. It is objectively bad. It looks like some seventh grade kid and some stoner who's staying after school to make up for tardies is sitting in some class in the back scrawling this on his desk with an X-Acto knife. That's what this looks like.
Napoleon Dynamite level kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Well done. Now, that what I like about this, so it's not all doom and gloom, because it is a little ugly. Absolutely one of the ugliest games on Steam.
But it's still early access, though, right?
It is. So my thinking is, and I don't. Maybe they've said this in their dev updates. I haven't been reading all of them. But my thinking is they've got the perfect engine for a game. It's really, really, really solid. The gameplay loop is on fleek, as the kids would say about their things.
You mean like in 2000?
I'm going to know about 14. Half a decade too late, right?
Right.
What I hope they're doing now is now's time to polish and clean this thing up because it's really ugly. It feels very of concept,
It looks fast.
It is fast, but it's just shitty ugly. It's really ugly.
Yeah.
The style's bad. It's not even so much that things aren't animated, and they're not. They don't really animate very well. It's a lot of sort of, you used a card to stab a guy. It made him move a little. Like, there's no fancy anything happening. But the actual art style itself is just so rudimentary and basic.
Well, as an artist, I mean, there was a time when we were all webcomic snobs and XKCD came along and we're like, no, stick figures are not allowed.
Some of us did. I understood that, though. That's a writing thing, and it fits, and I don't have a problem with that. And I wouldn't have a problem with this if it was stick people, to be honest.
Right.
Like, this just is a weird, ugly, who'd you hire? He's not very good at this kind of thing. And it may be that they got one guy making the whole thing, and this is just his level of art, and he's just doing this to get going, sell enough copies, then he can hire a real artist. Like, I hope that's where things are headed, because looking at that all day is going to be rough. It's rough.
Right.
And I'm not one to, you know, look, I'm not trying to say somebody's a bad artist. I'm just saying this.
But somebody's a bad artist.
Somebody's really bad here. Really bad. They look like little poop smears. They're just bad.
Hey, you know, you're not necessarily a bad artist. Maybe just not appropriate for this particular form.
I don't know where else it belongs. Where else should he be drawing?
Drawing on the desk at the back of, you know.
Exactly. Anyway, Slay the Spire, out now, fun as hell, right. And he's got me completely hooked. I just hope they can polish that thing up. Brian, I see you tried Kingdoms and Castles, which I also have.
I have played Kingdoms and Castles before, but every time it keeps sucking me back in. And if you don't know what it is, it's a city-building game. It's kind of pixelated, like almost... You almost want to look and go, oh, look, that kind of looks like Minecraft on the surface. Then you go, shut up, that looks nothing like Minecraft. Stop comparing Minecraft to all blocky games. Yeah. And then, you know, I would stop arguing with myself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, but Kingdoms and Castles city building is just enough for my OCD without being overly...
They're not trying to make you a survival game at all.
Don't get me wrong. There is some survival involved because as you go along, I always pick the hardest level when I'm playing this game for some reason. I don't know why it makes me laugh. And so right away, dragons appear in the sky and they'll come by and they'll check you out and they'll look and see what you got going on. And if you have too many gold coins, they'll come, you know, they'll smog you. Mm-hmm. They'll come down there and, grab your gold coins and get the crap out of there.
$10, by the way. It's only $10, right?
I think I paid $9.99 for it, and I think that's still the price of it. It's totally worth it. I've spent many hours just kind of whittling away at collecting wood, and it progresses at a decent pace. Some of the things that set it apart for me with the city building is that it's kind of almost like The Sims, because each individual meeple that you have, by the way, the meeples are just little block people. And maybe some Game of Life kind of people.
Yeah.
And each one of them has a happiness rating, but they'll give you the most recent thing that happened to them. Mm. So you'll look and you go, oh no, his happiness is low. And you see, he just stepped in some mud, and you can look at the household where he lives at, and there's another happiness meter there. And it gives you clues about what you should be doing. Like if they want charcoal, or if they want, if they feel like they're in danger of burning because you haven't built a well or something, or don't have access to a bar or something like that. By the way, if you step in mud, build a bar, takes it. They feel great about it. Tavern takes all the mud stepping, takes it right away.
Yep.
If
anyone has played 8-bit armies, either the 8-bit armies modern one or the 8-bit armies Warcraft looking one, it's that same style, with very, very similar style. Kind of like, it's 3D, but everybody's like a little 8-bit looking blocky dude. I'll tell you what let me just add this real quick. When you referred to it as like your meeples just kind of do what they need to do, and it's a little Sims-like in that way. For me, the comparison is more appropriate with a game like the old Sierra did publish them. But anyway, the games that were made by Impressions Games. So that would be like Pharaoh and Caesar 3. And do you remember those games? Zeus?
I do.
Rise of the Middle Kingdom.
Zeus was the one I played. I played a lot of that one.
Yeah. And they had a similar deal. You start putting things down, dudes show up, and they just start doing it. If you got a building that needs workers, put one down, someone will build it, and eventually it'll fill with workers as long as you got the right population. And you try to manage those two things and keep building out. And so the world, you don't have to control the people. You just control the city they live in, and the people kind of behave the way that they're supposed to. I really, really like that format. So Every once in a while I get a wild hair to just go find every one of these I can find, or just like see what everyone's working on. Like, are there any more cool versions of this kind of game out there? Who's working on what? And this one has really stuck out as doing what I like in these kind of city builders. So
I keep totally coming back to it. I think it's the pacing. The pacing is just right. Yeah. And you can fast forward. You can, everything is based on years. So you, you harvest your crops and your farms and your orchards at a certain time each year, and you collect, and you're actually your little meeple guys, by the way, Oak Dragon called me out and said, Game of Life people are pegs, Brian. Pegs. Okay.
Oh.
So yeah, right. Whatever, Wooden Dragon. All right. So I like that part of it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would say maybe I have a problem.
Yeah, you might. You should keep playing it, though. I like it. It's a good game.
No, because I got Civ 6 now. What am I going to do with that?
It's a $9.99. That's not even a sale price, normal price. This was also notable. It was the first game funded on that. What was the name of the Kickstarter alternative that's games only?
Show. Oh.
Squin, Pin, Grin.
Squin Piggly.
Squin Piggly Do. I can't remember. Chat room, fire up my brain. What was it called? Shit. It's
whatever that is,
this is where it got funded, and it was notable for that. And even though that service is kind of up and down in terms of popularity, this was like a successfully funded game and people like it. So that's kind of nice. Right. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, you know, I said that I stopped at a certain, I looked at my backlog and I said, okay, I'm only going to do games from 2017 forward.
Yeah.
I did cheat with that just a little bit, because there's one game that I've been meaning to revisit just a little bit, and it's called Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Ew!
2015.
Shut up.
Have you played this game?
No!
That was so much fun.
I'm not playing this.
You're going to play Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Explain to me. Let me just make sure I heard this right. Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Yes. Do you still Shower with Your Dad Simulator 2015. Do you still shower with your dad? I think is the full title of the game.
Nobody does.
Okay, so You got these little pixelated dudes, and my favorite character out of it, you have different dads. Okay, so there's three sets of dads. There's a black-haired white guy, and then there's a black guy, and then there's a ginger guy. And so I guess that's all the dads that they have or need. And so what you do is it's a matching game. So you got a dad, and he looks just like you, except he has a little doodle.
Oh my gosh, we got a pixelated wiener here. I see the video. This is terrible. Yeah,
doodle hanging down, and you're a little kid, and you're like a little mini one of that, but you don't have no doodle. So you have to, what you do is, like, the one of the first matching games you play is you have to randomly, your dad will pop up in different areas on the screen, and you have to go to him and to get into the shower with him. If you accidentally go into a shower with another dude, you lose. Don't want to go in and shower with somebody else.
I can't believe this exists. It's 99 cents, by the way.
Oh, totally worth it. Oh my gosh.
Oh.
It is such a fun little game. Just a little quick time killer. A bunch of little mini games you got where you match up there. It's all matching patterns, but some of them you rotate and you're the characters, different characters. You'll be one kid and then suddenly you'll change to another kid and you have to match up each time. And it's just a lot of fun.
I don't know,
a lot
man.
Of stupid fun.
I don't know. I don't know if I can. I want to run around.
If you can get the image of the little doodle out of your head, it's a fun game.
All right. Well, I showed this to the chat room while they were here, and they enjoyed it as well.
Also, I grabbed free. It's a free game. I don't know if you saw Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria Simulator.
No. What's this? Explain.
Okay. So. On the surface, I'm going to tell you right now, if you plan on playing this, you might want to, I don't know how big of a secret it is to you, but it was a secret to me. On the surface, in the store, the Steam store, it's free, and it looks like just a little arcade version of Freddy Fazbear. You know, you've played all the Five Nights at Freddy's, right? You played at least one or two of those.
I haven't played any of those.
But you're familiar with them, right?
I know what they are. Yes, I know what they are. They're jump scare, freaking Jimmy John, hoo-ha. Yeah.
Exactly. And this is sold as of the store as a little arcade version of Freddy Fazbear. You're Freddy Fazbear, and you're grabbing pieces off a table, and you're chucking them to customers. That's how it's sold. So I got that because, like, okay, cool. I don't have time for a complete Freddy's thing, but this might be a little interesting thing to do. And so I started playing. Psych! It's another freaking Five Nights at Freddy's game, but on the surface. So you start out playing this little arcade game, and you're going along, and you finally, you know, accomplish it. And all of a sudden, the screen starts going and becomes all pixelated. And suddenly, you're running your own Freddy Fazbear's pizzeria.
They think, and so they're trying to do like Frog Fractions, where it's right. Like, oh, it's this kind of game. And then later you're like, oh, shit, I'm in a whole new world now. It's a whole different thing than they told me.
Right. But it was a good psych out. I liked it because once I actually started playing it, because I wasn't interested in playing another Five Nights at Freddy's, but the angle is just different enough. You have to set up you have to set the restaurant up yourself. You have to purchase items to put into the restaurant. And it's a little different take. There's still a lot of the little jump scares and stuff, but good job on you guys fooling me and getting me to play it because it was free. It was free.
Yeah, it's free. So, it's a little 2D thing. It's not scary though, is it? Is it scary somehow?
Jump scare stuff.
Yeah.
My chest hurt at one point. So
this guy, I don't know how this guy's some kind of genius who keeps making these. Yeah, he's
brilliant.
Brilliant and has a lot of money now. Right. Well done, Scott Crawthorne. Oh, right. Yeah, look at all this stuff. There's four Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Six, if you count Five Nights at Freddy's sister location. Then this pizza deal. And something called Desolate Hope. I don't know what that is. Came out in 2014. It's like his first game. And then
I was kind of burnt out on Five Nights at Freddy's until this came along.
Yeah.
So good on you.
All right.
You got me to play again. Also, in the vein of being scared to death, I picked up, they had a midweek sale on Steam for Little Nightmares.
Oh, I have this game. I haven't played it yet, but yeah. I have it on Steam as well.
Oh, from, you know, little Big Planet guys. Mm-hmm. And so they've got this Little Nightmares, and it's kind of, it was called Hunger, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that you're this little kid in a rain slicker outfit, and you're trying to escape this nightmare mm-hmm. of existence, but you're suffering hunger pains as you go through that kind of slows you down. But it's a puzzle platformer, and I've enjoyed what little bit I've played so far, and I'm looking forward to picking it up on the PS4 Complete Edition, which is on sale right now as well.
Oh, how much is it there?
It's $20 for the Complete Edition. That includes all the DLC stuff and everything, and it's so far it's a lot of fun. But I gotta say, man, why do I suck so bad at platformers? What is it, Scott?
Yeah, what's your problem? I don't know.
Why can't I watch other people and they don't have trouble jumping from one ledge to another.
Mm.
Why do I have trouble jumping from one ledge to another? I don't know.
You got to work on this. This is something you need to solve in your life. I agree.
I recorded some gameplay for Twitch, and I swear every time I thought I was jumping in one direction, I ended up jumping in the other. It's like I have like jump dyslexia or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
That dyslexia. I like that.
Dyslexia. Dyslexia.
Yeah. No, you nailed it. It's exactly right. I am very interested in that, although I haven't played it. I have it on PC and it's just sitting there. So.
Yeah. Oh, you should fire it up. It is.
I'll give it a shot.
It's good. It's good.
All right.
It'll creep you out if nothing else.
Well, I like being creeped out. I'll tell you what else I like. News around the world. Let's start with Nintendo this week. Hey, you know what? That Labo deal. You know that thing that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
How much do you know about the Labo thing? Like, how much of that are you like, oh, I get it. I totally get it.
I watched the promo video, and it looks like Nintendo's trying to sell me some cardboard way overpriced.
For 70 bucks.
For 70 bucks, but it looks like. It looks like, that's what it looks like on the surface. It looks like an interesting concept, but for my, it would be something that you would work with your child, right? For our age group, it would be kind of, how much fun could you have with cardboard?
Well, I mean, look, it's basically going to tap into like the robotics lover in all of us.
There you go.
People are into making things. If you're a big Minecraft fan, this might be something you'd be interested in. The games that they ship with them are, it's not just the cardboard you're buying. You're buying a game or, you know, interactive software that uses these kits. and then controls them on the Switch, be they video games or other kind of stuff. This is a very Nintendo thing to do. And by that, I mean, like, they're thinking way outside the norm here. Like, right. Microsoft, Sony, never do this. This is so not their thing. And it may end up being their thing if it's hugely popular, because that's what they end up doing, is kind of copying whatever Nintendo popular thing is. But it needs to succeed first. Some people call it gimmicky. I think their kids are going to lose their minds over this. I think people are stoked about it. Now,
right.
I would agree that maybe you and I aren't the target audience. However, I could see some entrepreneurial mind going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to 3D print this stuff, and I'm going to make my own versions of this stuff, and I'm gonna hack a Switch and make it do this and that and the other thing. And this is open to third parties, by the way. So there's lots of opportunity here to make it more than just some basic gimmick.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I want to see what happens. Am I going to rush right out and buy one? Probably not.
Right.
But I'm interested.
I'm interested in some of it, because some of it looks like some of the locomotion, like to make, like you said, robots move, kind of is like the same ideas like the hex bots and things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the little vibration rumble in the controllers, and you put that onto some cardboard with some feet in this right angle, and they're able to, you know, have a little locomotion forward, and it looks interesting.
It's super interesting.
I don't know.
It's real weird, though. Like, I'll be the first to admit, it's an odd thing, but it's, I think it taps into something kind of possibly cool, especially for kids,
right,
who want to make and create and, I don't know, do more than just play video games on this thing.
Yeah, I applaud them for doing that, but in some ways I'm like, shouldn't this just be like an educational initiative that they just give away? Does it really need to be a thing?
They're not going to give it away.
Of course they aren't. They're Nintendo.
Well, and there's software in there, and there's, you know, there's a game to play. Like, you're not going to
Bill Gates would give it away.
No, he'd screw you. He'd make you buy a Kinect and pay too much money for it. That's what he'd do. Oh, and look, they have interactive how to put it together video in this. I'm looking at the video now. This is great. I think it looks hilariously silly and great. I want this to be a thing. So good luck, Nintendo.
Are you going to order one for yourself, though?
No, hell no. I'm not buying one. I mean, because it's not my... See, here's the other thing you need to know about me. Like, I'm more interested in watching other people do this than I am about me doing it.
Right.
Because here's what's true of Scott Johnson. Just let's make this clear. I'm terrible at making things. If it's on a screen, it's digital, it's on paper, there's pens involved, hire me. I'm good to go. I can make whatever you need. If you need me to put together a bunch of cardboard so it's a working robot, freaking dude, you're barking at the wrong hole is what you're doing.
I'll tell you, the thing that bothered me about the video that I watched, I think that if it was like really thin cardboard, I could see myself doing it, but I've worked with really thick corrugated cardboard before, making art projects in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I hated that so much. Mm. And I'm like, no, don't do it. Give me some kind of other material other than cheap corrigated cardboard.
Well, you know,
by the way, I just want to apologize to Wicked Kitten in the chat room and all the gingers who were offended by the fact that I distinguished between the white guy and the ginger guy. Like, it was a different color. I just didn't know how else to define him at that point. I was like...
Look, we were talking about a game where you try to shower with your dad and not the other guy, so I think it's okay. We're allowed some...
Sorry, Wicked Kitten.
Yeah, we're allowed some leeway there. All right, what I was going to say finally about this is Adam Savage of Mythbusters fame once said that if you want to get into fabrication and building your own stuff, you start with cardboard. So there's a lot to be said for cardboard being a fun way to do that. Now, these are all pre-built kits, so it's not like, you know, you're not going to get that creative. But somebody's gonna do some freaky stuff with some cardboard or otherwise, and we're all going to go, oh my gosh, what a weird thing that guy did. And it's going to be all the rage and get all the views, and everyone's going to love it. This is Nintendo.
You're thinking like a real doll cardboard kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little scared. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You know what I mean by real doll? You know what I'm saying, right?
I know exactly what you're saying. And have you ever had a cardboard cut? It hurts like a mother.
You're not wrong about that. Microsoft has not a lot going on, but big update and they've added some new features. This is their new update. If you're a preview member, you can check it out in Microsoft's beta program thing, so you can actually download this thing. But some new features. Some would say useful. Some would say, well, let me see first. But this includes expanding shutdown options. Whee! I wonder if it'll just fix it so it's a little less shitty to use. I really can't stand their front end on that thing. It's too much.
Right.
Too much stuff. Too hard to get to your games. They've improved it over time, but that thing could really use an overhaul.
Do you have an Xbox One?
Yeah, I do. It's over there.
S? Is it the X or S or what you got?
It's a normal. Just a OG.
It's a normal. It's
OG. It's the original console. It's the one that came out when they had the Kinect included and all that. It's that
I've thought about picking up one of the more recent S, right? That's the not expensive one.
Yes, but what reason do you have?
Now you get to the point.
You don't have one.
The reason why is because I need a 4K player, and people will not come off their 4K prices. However, Xbox One S does have a 4K player in it. Not the greatest one. But
so if
I'm going to spend $120, why not just go ahead and get an Xbox One?
You can get a 4K. Yes, that's true. Or a PlayStation Pro. That'll give that to you as well.
Oh, sure. I mean, if I want to spend $500 for a 4K player, why not?
Yeah, no. You know what? If that's your only reason, yeah, hell yeah. Go get an S. That's a good point. This was like back when Blu-ray players were ridiculously expensive from everyone else but Sony. So if you bought a PlayStation 3, you got the cheapest Blu-ray player, and it happened to be a PlayStation 3. So it made a bunch of sense. Then they got cheaper, and then it was way cheaper just to buy a Samsung, Blu-ray player. Same deal's happening now. If you want good 4K output, maybe go a console now, because later on other players will get cheaper. But if you're in the market for playing the video games, I don't know, man. Right now, Microsoft needs to prove something to me before I sink any additional cash.
I'll tell you, the most disappointing purchase I made over the last couple years is when I was too cheap to buy a second PS4 and went with the Sony Blu-ray 3D player and spent like $125, and it is just the most basic, stripped down.
Wait, this is because of this
piece
is
a crap.
This is because of, or this is in place of a PS4 or PS3?
No, a PS4.
Oh wow, okay, so more recent than that. All right, look, man, whatever you got to do, you be you, Brian. You be you.
I got to be me.
Yeah, they also, preview members can check out this Do Not Disturb function. This prevents any unwanted interruptions. Not in your life, just on the Xbox.
Ma,
Mom, I don't want to pick up dog poo. I'm in the middle of a Halo.
Do not
match.
Disturb.
Yeah, I like that idea. Just getting your mom to shut up. So that's the thing. There's a bunch of bug fixes, tournament stuff, some other things. If you are so inclined, check it out.
You're just gonna pass over the tournaments?
It's just bug fixes for tournaments. It's not adding tournaments. They already have tournament stuff. Listen, Xbox Live is a fine service. I think it's the standard by which all other online services for consoles should be based. My biggest problem with Microsoft is not any of that. My biggest problem is their, as far as the One is concerned, their interface for that thing is kludgy and dumb and confusing and advertising and not conducive to I want a cool place to go get my games. Like, Sony's is not great either, but it's a hell of a lot better than this. I just need to go find a thing. Oh, there's a thing. Click. I want to play. Okay, great. Not go 9 miles deep to find it. It's got problems, that thing.
It's got problems.
But this is nothing new. Everyone knows it. All right, moving on to Sony. Nike's PG2 light-up sneakers are out and available. Well, they're not out yet, right? They just got announced. Let's see.
Right.
Out? No, they're not out. These are for PlayStation fanatics. The PG2 second generation of Paul George's signature shoes is themed around the PlayStation console, complete with tongues that light up. Buttons inside the tongues let the owner turn on or off these lights, shaped in the PlayStation logo and PG logo on the other foot. In fact, turning those lights on sends a vibrating pulse through the shoe, akin to turning on a PlayStation 4 DualShock controller. Are you going to get these?
It's pleasure for your feet. You know, you laugh at me, but
you're
for
not doing
a decent,
it.
A not. Decent pair of Nikes, $110, that's not that bad. That's actually right on point.
This is dumb, though. I mean, I understand being a fanboy, and I understand, like, oh, but they've got PlayStation on, and I love PlayStation so much.
Just close your eyes for a moment, Scott, and imagine yourself playing a nice little game on your PS4, maybe Little Nightmares. Maybe you just picked up the complete edition Little Nightmares on your PS4, and you put your little PG2s on, and you just prop them up there on the old ottoman while you're playing the game.
I'm looking
How
at
awesome
the,
would that be?
I'm going to play a little from the commercial. Patent leather, classic PlayStation color eyelets. Oh, look at all the layers of foot things. Sock liner, Zoom airbag.
Like sock liner is a feature.
That's what it said. Outsole for durability. Yeah, I don't know. This is weird to me.
But look, you can download PSN voucher codes embedded on the back of the left shoe.
At least it's not the weirdest thing you've sent me today. I'll tell you that.
No, it's not.
It's not naked guys trying to find their kid in a public shower.
No, the kid's trying to find a naked dad. Get it right.
Oh, sorry about that. Moving on to the PC. NVIDIA wants retailers to prioritize gamers over cryptocurrency miners. Now, we may have talked about this on the show, we may not have, but if you've been in the market for a new video card, you know what a pain in the ass it's been. Because cryptocurrency, turns out, sitting around farming that stuff all day, is best suited to GPUs, not CPUs. So if you get a PC with multiple GPU inputs and you end up with a PCI array of like 8 GPUs, GPUs meaning, you know, NVIDIA cards, although AMD cards aren't as good, I heard, for this, just for this.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Anyway, I don't know why that is, some coprocessor thing. I don't understand it. But the point is that NVIDIA cards flying off the shelf, not for gamers, not for upgrading somebody's gaming PC, but for cryptocurrency miners. And by miners, I don't mean under the age of 18. I mean people mining for Bitcoin. And it's nuts. I don't even think I don't think NVIDIA wants this. I think they're like, no. What is the deal? There's a shortage. You can't get them. It sucks.
NVIDIA's doing two things. They're encouraging their retailers to not sell like a whole bunch of them, like sell one at a time or whatever. So to prefer the gaming consumer over the crypto, you know, but you got to say, what does NVIDIA care? Are they selling cards, right? Doesn't matter. The other thing they're looking at doing is creating video cards without display port outputs. So
right.
You could buy one, but it'd be stripped down to be a little less expensive, and would encourage them to stay, you cryptocurrency miners, out of my video gaming video cards.
Nice
get
space.
Out, because yeah. I was just about to upgrade, and I had watched some decent prices over the holidays, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait until February or so, and I'm going to pick me a card up. And the freaking things went from like $250 with the one I was looking at to like $600-$700 now.
Yeah. No, this is all
insane.
Everything you're saying is true. And here's the deal. NVIDIA should lean into this in the direction that you just suggested. They need this to make video cards for gaming and continue to pursue that market that they helped pioneer. And then go back and make some even less expensive or mass-produced or whatever GPU-based processor cards that are specifically for the cryptocurrency market, and make a whole line of those and separate that shit. You'll make a bunch of money over here. You make a bunch of money over here, and even out your stock levels, because right now you're basically building for a gaming market that is being bought up by a different market.
Yeah, and if they don't do something, and this is going to happen regardless, a year from now or this Christmas, when all of these cryptocurrency people, you know, have either failed or have made their money or need to upgrade to the next thing, they're going to try to offload all these things. And you're going to see tons of these cards flood to the, you know, the secondary markets, the used markets. And people are going to have to start asking, was this thing abused to death in some kind of cryptocurrency crap? Because I need to know.
Yeah, no,
because
that's true.
When I get this, is it going to be all et up or what?
Check this out. GeForce GTX 1080 Ti cards are selling for $1,300 and up. The lowest priced GTX 1060 on Newegg right now is listed at $400. Are you kidding me?
Right.
And then that's if you can get them. They're all on back orders. You can get a six pack of GTX 1060 6 gigabyte cards for $3,295. I mean, the market is what the market is, right? It's gonna. The market is willing to pay what it wants for demand and supply. I mean, it's the supply and demand. I totally get this. I totally get it.
You can't change it. It's easy for us to be mad as gamers because it's like you're not using it for its proper intent. This was made for me, and you're just using it and abusing it.
Well, this is their statement. For NVIDIA, gamers come first. All activities related to our GeForce product are all targeted at our main audience, says Boris Bowles. He said this to Computer Base. They were doing an interview. To ensure the GeForce gamers continue to have good GeForce graphics cards availability in the current situation, we recommend that our trading partners make the appropriate arrangements to meet gamers' needs as usual. So they didn't really say much. They didn't say they were going to do anything to sort of curb this. I mean, NVIDIA stock is through the roof because of it. So their stockholders are not asking for them to switch gears.
This is not a natural increase, though. So as I think things are going to change.
It may
quickly.
Not be sustainable, and I agree with that. I agree with that.
You're going to be in trouble if you're not careful. You got to make the right decisions.
Yeah, that whole thing, dude. Cryptocurrency in general. We're heading toward bubble town. It's happening.
Right. Right.
Like I mean, part of me is like, man, I should get into this. It's a little late now, but like
once I know about it, I think that the fad is over. You know, and I think now somebody's found a way to mine the miners. I'm sure that by the time I get in, I'm always the last one in and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's some dark horsing around going on behind the scenes. And I don't know, I'm not trying to be conspiratorial, but there's so many things about blockchain that I like as a technology, but cryptocurrency there's some skeevy going on with the cryptocurrency.
We'll figure it out. It's just the time.
It is possible. It is possible to separate blockchain and the philosophy behind blockchain and actual Bitcoin or actual Dogecoin or actual whatever dumb coin you're doing. Banana coin is another one I saw the other day. You can separate that stuff because I think the whole world's going to run on blockchain at some point. I think that is the genuine thing. It is like the ultimate in increasing security, reliability, and accountability. It's just the other dark side of it. It's just a little bit of weird going on. It's like BitTorrent. It can be used for so many cool technologies, but you can also steal a lot of shit with it.
It's so tasty.
Anyway, as your
expert. There.
As your
now,
experts,
let me go put my box over here out of the way.
Yeah, get that. Move that out of there, will you? Good job. Well done. All right, it is time for us to take an email from Brian from Denver. This is not the Brian from Denver we know. Okay? Different Brian from Denver. Emailed us, boopshow@gmail.com, and he says this: "Hey guys, as a WoW and ESO player, I enjoyed Scott's take on his experience in ESO in the recent Boop Show. It's absolutely better since 1 Tamriel, having played ESO since beta. To those who wonder why they would want to play it and WoW, it's because it's very different than World of Warcraft in look, tone, and playstyle, and all of the new content is more fun, in my opinion, than playing Skyrim again. It's definitely worth trying out, especially since the base game is so affordable. Keep up the great work and game talk from Brian in Denver." I never put this in the right words, but he's exactly right. If you think of WoW, well, think of it this way. If you're paying for WoW, you have to play World of Warcraft, you have to pay monthly. That's the deal. So if you're going to be playing that anyway and you feel like you have to do that, in the case of ESO, you don't. Once you have the base game, you just play. There's no monthly fee. There's no feeling like, oh, you're holding this $15 over my head. You're making me feel bad if I'm not playing. You don't have to play it that way. And you can just go in there and solo that shit, never group with anybody if you don't want to, and just play a great Elder Scrolls kind of experience. That's what I'm getting out of it. He said it really well. I think those two games actually exist really well in the same universe, given that I'm not giving up on WoW, probably ever. And I also really, really like the world of Elder Scrolls. So it's like this great secondary RPG that just happens to be an MMO. Like, you gotta change the way your head thinks about this stuff sometimes. And it's good.
Well, Brian from Colorado was able to do something that you were not able to do, which has convinced me. And I'm on Is There Any Deal right now, looking to see if I can pick this game up.
Is that a website? Is There Any Deal? What is it?
Oh, Is There Any Deal? Yes, I live by Is There Any Deal.
I never use this. I've never even seen anything without it.
Man, nothing makes me angrier than finding out that I bought a game and that 2 weeks prior it was on sale.
Well, how is this the first time I'm even hearing of this thing? What? That annoys me. Yeah. Because I feel like I don't. I should. I should. This is a thing I should have known. How do How do I not know? How is this possible?
I don't know.
All right. Well, let's see.
It hooks up with your Steam. Hooks up with your other accounts, and you can. And you can put your wish list. You can import your wish list into this thing, and it like lets you know. Right now, historically speaking, Elder Scrolls Online, 1859.
That's pretty good. I think that's worth it. Totally worth it. I think it's worth it at 30. And I bought it at. Well, I mean, I played the alpha, I played the beta, I played release, then long time where I didn't. And then one Tamriel hit and I went, oh my gosh, this game is 20 times better than it used to be.
Right.
And people don't believe me. They're like, what are you talking about? It really is that much better now.
What are you talking? Why are you talking code? Quit it.
Excuse me. So that's the point. Why did I just burp on the air? This is the thing I've been trying to work on. Not burping on the air like some kind of freaking pig.
Sure. It's just things I'm working on.
I just, you know, I got
to be less piggish.
All right. You know what? This website's kind of awesome. What are these deals? We got kind of a best deals of the day kind of deal here.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Trackmania Canyon. I don't care about that. This fractured butthole I can get for as low as. What's gamer?
Yeah.
There's some kind of whatever. I'll have to mess with this. Looks like some good things could be done here for me.
It's a good time. It's a way to make sure that you're not buying a game that fluctuates a lot. Like, for instance, Rick and Morty's virtual reality. It sits on sale most of the time at around $20, which is a perfect price for the game length that you get to play. But if you're not careful, you might have picked it up at $30. And you'll notice that in the reviews, all the people complaining about the shortness of the game are the people that paid $30. The people who complained didn't complain at 20. So,
yeah,
you know,
all right.
Just don't give your money away, Scott.
I'm into it. I'm going to go through here later and see if I can find some dumb deals because I don't have enough video games to play clearly.
Right.
Oh, look at this. You can get Just Cause 3 for $7. That's stupid cheap. Man.
That's stupid cheap.
Seriously. That's a good game.
It is a good game.
I enjoyed the hell out of that. Let's see what else they got. I paid $59 for that game. Well, I got it the week it was released.
Yeah.
You got your, let's see. Oh, Hard West is great. That's only $4. Are you kidding? Okay, yeah. Brian, you've done it again. Well done.
Way to go. Now I've got way more games to play than I will never, ever, ever be able to get to.
Yeah, well done. You've done it again, Brian. that's going to do it for the show, everybody. I hope that you had a good time. I know that we did. Should mention this, though, before we get out of here, if you'd like to have your voice heard on the show and have your own input considered, just like Brian from Denver, send us an email at boopshow@gmail.com. That is boopshow@gmail.com. You're familiar with it, right? You know Gmail. You've used it.
I've used the Gmail.
Yeah, Gmail's all right. You can tweet us, boopshow. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And you can support the show at patreon.com/frogpants. And maybe even look at stuff on the store. There's some cool video game prints and cool stuff there. If you want to go check that out, that's at frogpants.com/store. Brian, any final thoughts before we go?
Yes. Okay. As long as we're talking about stuff we're doing and you're already in the chat room, you can just easily follow me on Twitch. I've been playing more video games and broadcasting them live, so my videos are still up. It is twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. That's me. Oh,
that's great. People should do check that out. Should do.
Yeah, subscribes.
Yeah, we're live every Monday at 3:30 Mountain Time. That's 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern, right here at frogpants.tv. That'll take you straight to the Twitch page. Sub, like, all those things if you are so inclined. I think that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week with all the greatest and latest and what we've been playing. Brian, have a great week.
Oh, you too, Scott.
And the rest of you guys as well.
Game on.
Game on, really? Okay. Bye, everybody. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.